Получили сте поканата. Знаете, че това е господин Пол Флакет. Имате да ни изборявам всичко това, което той е бил и което той е, но за да го резюмирам с едно изречение, мога да ви кажа, че той е един от най-добрите специалисти не само в Европа, но и в света. Навсякъде го канят. И ако не се лъжа, сега идва направо от американския континент тук в България. И темите са специално подбрани и вероятно първата, която всички ни ще интересува е, има финансова криза от Америка, която се пренеси и в Европа, като опашка ще се появи икономическа криза, е какво да правим ние. Но освен това има още 3-4 теми, мисля, че ще бъде изключително интересно да го чуеме. И разбира се, ще остане време и за вашите въпроси към него. Разбира се, ще има един симултанен превод, който всички ние може да използваме. Но има и една добра новина за тези, които искат да получат всичко това, което той ще каже, да го получат буквално. Там сме организирали аудиозапис и всеки един от вас, който желае да го има като фонограма, всичко това, което се чуе тук, може да си остави името и адреса и при тези господа, които са там в ъгъла, може да получат една аудиокасета от този разговор, който, надявам се, ще бъде интересен за всички ни. И аз съм до тук и аз моля Пол да вземи микрофона. Накрая и ти ще, разбира се, ще кажеш твоята оценка, но мисля, че тази интродукция за момента е достатъчна.
Нали? Беше по-добре преди специалиста, отколкото след това, но няма значение. Да. Okay.
Добре. Пол, старт.
Good morning. Good morning. Come on. Wake. Yeah. First of all, thank you for inviting me back to Sofia. I enjoy coming here and meeting old friends and new friends. And as Tristo said in his introduction, just to walk into the new airport now is such a change. And to see all the new hotels and the advertising, whatever, it's great. You're really progressing so well as a destination. Couple of things. Could you switch off your mobile phones, please? Because if any phone rings from now on, Christo will stand up and sing the national anthem. Okay? So we have to be careful. I'd like to thank the two ladies from Varna who were first in the room. There is no prize, but if there was a prize, you would have won it. So congratulations. I really thought I was prepared for this presentation. I'd produced the PowerPoints. I read through the notes yesterday coming. I thought of all the little stories I can add on. And then this morning I watched Sky News on television. Sky News is the English news channel. And everything seems to have changed. And this is the world we're living in at the moment. It's so volatile. It's changing rapidly. So what we're going to try and do this morning is have a look at, through my eyes, what's happening. Give you some of my thoughts on this, and then you'll get your chance to talk to me and tell me what you think. And you, what you think may be even more correct than my views. So let's be very flexible as we go forward. Meetings and incentive travel, this very lucrative sector of tourism. Everything is so fast now. Are you noticing this? Everything is going faster and faster and faster. And you no longer can jog along. You have to be almost sprinting to stay ahead of the game. We have the economic impacts, and we'll come on shortly to what's happening in terms of the financial crisis. Fuel prices have dramatically affected the airline industry, which is one of the key components of what we're talking about. And then you have low-cost carriers. Ryanair is more wealthy than British Airways. Can you believe that? Ryanair was thinking of making a bid 12 months ago to buy British Airways. It's unbelievable what's happening. But there's good news. These low-cost carriers are actually impacting and helping emerging destinations. If you go to London Stansted Airport 80% of the flights out of there go Ryanair. And if you take that 80%, 80% of that 80% are probably going to Poland. Not just to Warsaw, but to Poznan, Katowice, Wrocław, Krakow. They're creating a demand, and it's helping the UK planners. And you have to remember, the UK outbound market for meetings and incentive travel is the second largest in the world. And so it's helping create new destinations. And that's what the low-cost carriers are doing. Ever since 9/11, meeting planners, incentive planners know they're not going to get business class seats for their clients, for their delegates. It's impossible. But the low-cost carriers give them a great option, because the money you save on the airfares, you can put into the destination and the program. So this is why low-cost carriers are having such an impact. You've got increased competition. At any major trade show now, over 150 destinations are exhibiting. That's countries. Think of all the cities and regions within those countries, and you can imagine just how much the competition is. At IMEX this year, the American area is starting to grow, but there was a guy from Texas who could not believe that the Montenegro stand, the Serbia stand, the Poland stand, the Bulgaria stand were all bigger than Texas. He could not comprehend this. He thinks that Texas is the greatest place on the planet and it should be the biggest. But he's looking at his competition. He's realizing what he's up against there. You've got staffing needs. More and more staff are being needed as destinations grow, as they develop. Hotels, local service staff, transportation staff. And you cannot just take someone from school or straight from university. There has to be training. There has to be planned training as to what's required. And this takes time and it takes money. And as we know, at the moment, money is very tight. So it's a round circle. And then you've got the emerging markets. Who has heard of this BRIC? Does anyone know? Yeah, Brazil, India, China. These are regarded as the three big emerging markets. China, I mean, I've been there about three, four times now. It's so big, you cannot comprehend it. You cannot get your arms around it. How many people go to the gym and they work on those big round, you know, workout balls, the huge things that you can't hold? It's like China. It's like the concept of there is so much happening there. How to gain benefits from it, how to participate in their business. It's very difficult. And it's quite interesting that in all this talk of financial crisis, these three destinations, China maybe is, but are not really suffering so much from recession or the prospects of. Because there's so much happening there, there's so much development. So when I woke up this morning and watched the news, I thought to myself, okay, there's already some changes here. Is my glass half full or is my glass half empty? And that's what you have to decide. Are you an optimist who's going to take the opportunities to move forward? Or are you the my glass is half empty pessimist who thinks, shrink in, protect myself, defend what we have, and maybe we'll get some ideas going forward. Faster quotations. Meeting planners, they want an answer tomorrow. Can you take 200 delegates coming in October next year? I need an answer by Monday. What can you offer me? What will you give me? Speedy delivery. They want the answer straight away. Come on. I want it now. Other people are giving me the answers now. What can you do? I want better prices. What they mean is lower prices, cheaper prices. This is the pressure on you. They want improved service. What can you add on? What can you as a destination add on with quality to make your proposal better? It's the age of procurement. Does everyone know this word, procurement? Do you remember the American company Enron, which had all the problems and all the things that were going wrong and all the secret deals? Suddenly the industry said, everything has to be much more open. Everything has to be much more transparent. And so companies who are placing business will have a procurement officer. Now, this meant that everything had to be above board and very transparent, the negotiations, the contracts. Now, initially, the procurement officer would take the cheapest quote and say, that's the best deal. But this is over a two-year, three-year period now, and they're beginning to realize the cheapest is not necessarily the best. So we're almost coming back around full circle to the old days when you could call up someone like Christo in Bulgaria and say, Christo, I need some help. What can you do for me? And it was a friendship. It was a friendship relationship. Then you had the procurement officer who was Mr. Drumeff and had, no, don't want to meet for coffee, don't want to meet for a beer after work, I have a job to do. And now it's coming back to the relationships again. So don't worry too much about procurement. Some of the old relationships have gone. We all get older. We have to face it, you know. And there is continual new blood pushing from below. People coming in with new ideas. So some of the relationships are disappearing. And what's more important, and I'm looking at the younger folks in the room, you have to be very, very flexible in what you're doing. Jack of all trades. Do you know the expression, the English expression? You can do anything. You can turn your hand to different things. You know, you could be working for the destination 1 minute, then you might be in a hotel, then you could be with an airline, but you're still within the sector. At IMEX, we run a program called Future Leaders Forum. And we have a day session whereby we have students from local business schools, from local universities, and we bring them in just like this, and we have presentations by experts from within the industry. And the whole idea is to get the interest of the students and tell them that the meetings and incentive travel sector of tourism is a really good industry to work in. There's lots of opportunities. And to get their interest, because they're being sought after by IT companies, by other corporations. We're trying to get some good people to keep our industry developing properly. So, I was looking at the hotel I'm staying at the Sheraton, no offense to anyone else from other hotels, but I was looking at what's happening today on their board. And there it was, the financial crisis. What is happening in the crisis? There is a session happening there today. If you take all the major industry associations that we have in our sector, like ICA, MPI, SITE, AIPC, it's all different alphabet spaghetti. And if you need to know what they mean, I'll tell you later. But on their educational programs, for the last 2-3 years, the hot topics have been green, sustainability, corporate social responsibility. These have been the hot topics. Now, I guarantee you, for at least the next 12 months, everyone will have a session on the crisis. And it's very interesting. When you watch TV, you know, if you catch the news when you get home, there's always an expert, right, speaking. And my good friend Patrick Delaney, who has spoken here with me and sends his best regards, he says the definition of an expert is someone from out of town. In other words, you don't believe the experts in your hometown, you only believe them when they come in from overseas. And the experts are saying, it's okay. We've been through these times before and it'll soon be over. And then the other experts are saying, it's doom, it's gloom, we're finished. And so it can basically start your day off very good or very bad, whichever one you listen to. What you've got to decide for yourselves is how it's affecting your company, your corporation, and how you should get creative to make sure you're still around in 2-3 years and come through this. Established products have an advantage in such a crisis because the meeting planners will say, maybe we should take the event to somewhere that we've used before that we know can deliver well for us. In other words, we don't have as much budget, but we know that Prague can deliver, we know that Sofia can deliver, whatever. The new destinations, the emerging destinations, have a problem here because they've got to win over planners in a tough time. And this is where you get situations that are not so good, where a destination knows the planners are scratching around where to place business. And so they'll make offers that financially are not sound, that really do not benefit the destination and give them much financial security. So you have to be aware of this. So in these times, the planners are looking for established advantages. New convention centres. Up until 6 months ago, there was something like one convention centre opening every second day. Now, convention centres mean different things in different parts of the world. China, for example, was creating huge numbers of convention centres, but they were really a meeting space, but also for the local community, so that they became a centre for the local town or city. They weren't an international convention centre. So you've got to be very careful when you read some of these statistics and you say, wow, I hope there's enough business for them all. Some of them are not really there to gain the major developments. Some are. We talked about BRIC. In India, the Hyderabad Convention Centre was completed from ground zero to finished item in 18 months. 18 months, it's incredible. And they already had business rolling in the day after it opened officially. So this is how keen the BRIC markets are for the business. Impact on hotel hotel chains. Every hotel manager has to make sure his occupancy levels are at a certain point. As we'll see in a minute, it means they're now looking at any way of getting business in. And if it means having convention and meeting space in direct competition with the local convention centre, so be it. They will become the DMC, the PCO, everything in an attempt to win the business. And this is the way the world is at the moment. There's never been a better time than to promote your product. For various personal reasons, I spend a lot of time in Iceland these days. And just this morning, they finally received the loan from the IMF, which should help them get back on track. But the Icelanders are saying, this is the time to come to Iceland. There has never been a better time to bring your meetings business to Iceland with the exchange rates and the value you can get. They're seeing that the glass is half full because that's the way they are. And this is what you've got to look at. In these times, how can you offer advantages to the meeting planners as Bulgaria, as Sofia, as Varna, as the other destinations? How can you take advantage of good exchange rates? Who should you be talking to? Who should you be promoting to? Who should you be going after? How many people have green elements within their program, within their product? Nobody. All right, let me tell you. It's no use hiding. It's no use saying no, because this is happening. And meeting planners and event planners, more and more, when they come to you and say, make me a proposal for this event, are then saying, what are your green credentials? What are your policies on recycling? What are your policies on environmentally friendly events? So you must start to think about this. You must start to include it in your program. We as IMEX, because we have a green initiative, we ourselves had to go through a green audit. And 93% of our product, the trade show, is recycled. The other 7% goes to a landfill just outside Frankfurt and helps provide electricity and power for a village nearby. And this is what people are looking for now. And more and more planners will be looking at this. It's not enough to have a new airport, new hotels, good product. They'll be looking for your green credentials. It's a generation thing, really. I mean, I'm of a certain age where I live, my apartment, I have to split my waste into two, into recyclable and non-recyclable. And when I'm rushing out in the morning to go off to America somewhere, it's the last thing I want to be doing is making sure I've got the bags correct. My daughter finds it very easy. Her children, it will be such a natural thing, this recycling. And the products themselves will become much more different. The containers, instead of cans, there'll be recyclable paper. All these things are changing. And it is. I mean, the young ladies here, this is second nature to you. To myself and Christo, we have to think very hard. But it's part of the world we're living in now. You have to accept it. You have to embrace it. You have the Green Meetings Industry Council, Green Globe, World Wildlife Fund. All these organizations are working very hard in terms of establishing credentials. Now, if I say to you, New Zealand is considered to be one of the top destinations in terms of green policies, would you agree? As a perception, just in your mind, it's not a trick question. It has this image of being totally green and environmentally friendly. Yet if you talk to one of the key people in the industry down there, he's quite cynical. This thing about carbon footprints, you know, this idea that when you fly from London to New Zealand, your carbon footprint is X, whatever. And you can offset. There are companies on the web that you can go onto and say, I'm making this journey. How much do I have to pay to offset my carbon footprint? And they'll come back and they'll say, £100. So you send off your check. And Alan's cynicism is that, where does the money go? Where does that money actually go? What happens with it? And this is one of the problems of getting ordinary folks and industry folks like us to accept the green principles, this area of doubt. As a speaker at a conference about 6 months ago, I was given an envelope as a thank you for speaking. And when I opened it later, it said, in an effort to be environmentally friendly, we have planted 6 trees in the Brazilian rainforest on your behalf. Wonderful. So when I saw the organizer at dinner that night, I said, can you tell me where my trees will be? Because I'd like to go and visit them. And he looked at me and said, no one's ever said that before. I said, well, no, I'm keen. I think it's great. Where do I go? Will I have my name on them? And he suddenly realized he couldn't prove, he couldn't even accept that these would actually be done. And this is the problem. As green develops, and you have to have the green credentials in your offering, there is a degree of cynicism. The good news is many people are finding that by adopting green principles, recycling and green programs, it's actually saving them money. And that's the key. That's what will win everyone over eventually, that you can actually save money with environmental programs. So here's a trick question for you. Here's a quiz question. And we'll give the answer in the questions and answers later. Scandic Hotels claim they have invented a hotel room that is 97% recyclable. Okay? They have invented a hotel room that is 97% recyclable. What constitutes the other 3% that cannot be recycled in the room? So think about that as we talk. That's your little quiz question for the morning. AMCs, DMCs, DMOs, PCOs. What is this? We're an industry that loves to give people little titles. Well, I'm the CEO of Apicio.
What?
It means I run a professional conference organization. AMC, Association Management Company. Many of the large industry associations are finding that they can no longer really afford to have an office and a staff to run the association, to put on the conferences, and to keep the members informed. So they turn to an association management company. And these association management companies may be responsible for running 6 or 7 different industry associations, giving them the service, keeping all the different members informed. A good example is SITE, Society for Incentive Travel Executives, well known, 35 years old now, and they decided no longer to have a chief executive officer and their own staff. They would go to an association management company, and that's Smith Buckland in Chicago. And Smith Buckland has about 10 different industry associations that it manages on behalf of the members. It's all about competition. DMC, Destination Management Company, in theory, a company that has total knowledge about the destination, understands where the hotels are, the attractions, the venues, the restaurants, and can help a planner put together a really good program. But then you have the PCOs, the professional congress organizers. They get involved. They think they know the best places to go to, and the hotels, and the restaurants, and the venues, and the attractions. And it gets blurred. And the reason it's getting blurred is because everyone wants a slice of the pie, or should I say, a bigger slice of the pie. And they think they can do it. Even hotels now have their own meeting planning departments. And they have, because they have their own convention space, they consider themselves to be a destination themselves, not just part of the overall destination. So it's getting very blurred. And it's very confusing for some people. It confuses me, and I'm supposed to be in the industry. And it's trying to work out what is happening. DMOs. There was an organization formed almost 100 years ago now in America called IACVB, International Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus. The international was stupid because for years, 98% of the members were American, were North American. It's only in the last few years that they've got more international members. And then they suddenly realized that if you're talking just about CVBs, then the Malaysia Tourism and Promotion Board doesn't qualify. And yet they're one of the major destination organizations in the world. The Singapore Tourism Board, which also looks after meetings and incentives, doesn't qualify. So 2 years ago, they changed their title to call themselves DMAI, Destination Marketing Association International. Okay? Are you with me so far? It's confusing, I know. And their members are now DMOs, Destination Marketing Organizations. So the Sofia Convention Bureau is a DMO. Okay? That's probably the best way to explain it. And it's not just for to make it look pretty or sound good. It's for pure financial reasons that they can bring in a wider membership. And they can sort of close their arms around the possibilities out there globally. Who's playing in the game? That's what you need to know. Who's in our industry? Don't worry too much about the alphabet spaghetti. Just know who you are, what you're doing, and where you're going to get your business from, especially in times like this, the financial crisis. It's all about surviving. Where are you going to be next year? I'm going to give you a little example now. I hated Tony Blair. I thought he was the worst prime minister we'd ever had in history. I now take that back and realize that Gordon Brown is the worst prime minister that we've had in history. And what I got so annoyed with was with Blair and Brown is they'll talk about, we're now going to invest more money in blah, blah, and by 2020, it will be this. By 2020, they won't be in power. By 2020, they will have gone. And by 2020, who's counting anyway, and who can remember what they said? It's great politician speak. And this is the problem. Too many people are looking like 2010, 2015, 2020. You as organizations have enough on your plate to make sure you're still here in 2009. Yeah? Nick, which is just around the corner. All this talk about 2020 and 2015, forget it. We're in a situation now where it's all about survival. And you've got to be totally aware of where you stand and what you've got to do. Challenges for hotels. Obviously, it's all about occupancy. How many people are coming through your property? The rates offered. How many hoteliers are here? One at the back, two at the back, three, four. Yeah, you put your hands up, it's easy. Very easy, just that's it, yeah. How many of you allocate rooms to Expedia and organizations like that? You know, this can be a great confusion. You know, if I need a room at the last minute somewhere, I'll quite happily go on Expedia.com. And you get a rate that is a crazy rate that if you go compared to the hotel. And I know hoteliers who say to me, I don't really like using them, but the little percentage they bring to me helps my occupancy rates stay up there. Doesn't mean they're financially good, but the number of people in the hotel are better. It's the standard of service offered. It's realizing that you've got to have trained staff. I always make a point wherever I am in a hotel, if someone gives me really good service, just a member of staff, it could be the concierge, it could be the lady who cleans my room, it could be anyone, it could be the porter outside who gets me a cab. If they're really good at their job and they're really professional, I'll always send an email afterwards to the general manager of the hotel and say, this person was superb. Because I believe you should do that. It's not just about giving a tip. It's about recognizing the service and standards. And this is where hotels will win, by making sure their staff give much better service and much better standards. They try to be everything, as I said earlier. They try to be a convention center. They have meeting space. They want to fill that. I was born and raised in Birmingham, England, and we have in Birmingham the International Exhibition Center. We have the International Convention Center. We have the Symphony Hall. In other words, Birmingham has become a very, very good business, tourism, meetings and incentives destination. But London is the capital of England, okay? London does not have a convention center. We do, they don't. We like to remind them of this every so often. And they just tried to get a convention center about 2 years ago. Tony Blair's initiative, let's have a London convention center. Who opposed it? Who do you think were the main opponents of the convention center plans? The major hotels in London. Because they're doing very nicely, thank you. They have their own meeting space and they can be the convention center. And so, you know, it was never going to happen. They couldn't agree where it was going to be. They couldn't agree who was going to pay for it. Would they have a bed tax on occupancy? No, the hotels didn't want that because they're doing nicely. And they become all things. Trained staffing levels. This is the biggest problem facing hotels for the next 5 years. And I'll give you a statistic in a minute on one of the next slides. Trained staff. And the world is global now. You've got Swiss chefs in London hotels. You've got London chefs in Bangkok hotels. They move around. So the world, it's a global industry. Meeting space, I've talked about. Everyone tries to, you know, add advantages through their meeting space. And technology. Websites. My daughter and her partner, if they're going to go out on holiday, they'll go onto the hotel website And they get very disappointed if you don't have a virtual tour around the hotel on the website. What sort of hotel is this? There's no virtual tour. To them, it's a negative. So easy to do. Your website has to be all singing, all dancing. How many people in the room are having increased budgets for next year? Not one. Not one. And by the way, every time I speak, it's the same answer. Very rarely do we get a hand raised and say, yeah, my budgets are increasing. There's many ways to spend your marketing dollars. I've just mentioned websites. Sales campaigns in terms of with emails and promotions, trade shows, road shows, marketing blitzes. It's all there. Everyone wants to take a slice of your budget pie. There's too many trade shows. I'm a trade show organizer. That's my role in life. And I will happily put my hand up and say, there are too many trade shows in the industry calendar. The problem is, there are not enough quality trade shows in the industry calendar. Too many people see trade shows as a quick way to make money. Trust me, it doesn't work that way. We ran EIBTM in Geneva. It took us 6 years to get profitable. With IMEX, we're now into our seventh year, and we're just sort of breaking even. If you're going to do something properly and make it good, high quality, then it has to be investment. There's no quick, easy returns. It's all about relationships. I'm the organizer. You're the exhibitors. These guys are the visitors. Our role is to create a marketplace for the exhibitors and the visitors to meet where they can do business. That's my role. The exhibitors have to, their role is to make sure they're displaying all their qualities and everything they have to offer in the destination in a very good and interesting way. And the buyers, the visitors, they're investing time because they want to find out what's new destinations. Are the destinations they're visiting already standing up? Are they professional? Are they keeping up their high standards? As a destination, there's a need for reality. Where do we stand in the scale of things? No one is ever going to be a London, a Rome, or a New York. The problem for those people is very different. They're up the top of the tree in terms of our industry and our sector. It's staying there. They have to keep enhancing their product to make sure they stay on the top. You have to be lean and keen. And what we mean by that's a very English expression. And what it means is you've got to look at your budgets, especially now in this situation, and say, what can we afford to lose and how can we make things better with the budgets we have, the reducing budgets we have? Do you develop the product or do you spend money promoting it, what you have already? It's a balancing act. It's a question for only you to decide on. I mentioned major sporting events because a lot of destinations have latched on to the fact that if you host or seem to be bidding to host a major sporting event, then major sporting events have major sponsors. And once those sponsors come to a destination for the sporting event, they'll see the facilities on offer and probably bring back their meetings after that. The biggest success story in this respect is Barcelona, who had an absolutely magnificent Olympic Games in 94. But they spent a lot of time promoting to the big sponsors. And suddenly, Barcelona took off. And they promoted. And now they're probably, within Europe, number one or two top incentive destination. They're getting the business. And I know you guys went for the Winter Olympics. Just to be seen to be doing that puts your name on the map. Doesn't mean you've got to win the thing to be seen there. You know, it marks you out as a player in the international game. It's reputation and perception. Your reputation, the perception might be that, you know, third degree, third tier destination, whereas those in the industry know that you do deliver. and you're actually better than that. So you've always got to overcome your perception. It's like I said, New Zealand's perception is green, green, very fashionable. It's an excellent destination and it does very well, but it doesn't work, it doesn't build on its green credentials, because part of that is perception. Australia, great destination, perception, it's too far away. Not to the west coast of America, planners, it isn't, because they can drop down straight away without much time difference, as opposed to spending 10 hours getting to Europe with a 10-hour time difference. So this is how the competition works. What you cannot buy, doesn't matter whether you've got a small budget, a big budget, whatever, what you cannot buy is word of mouth, a word of mouth reference. In other words, a planner brings an event to Sofia, it goes really well, you guys locally deliver, the planner's very happy. Next time he's talking to other planners, they inevitably say, so where have you been lately? Where's good? Ah, we took an event to Sofia. Bit of a gamble, fantastic, really good, you should try it. And so it's a word of mouth referral that you can't buy. You can't force the planners to say this. It's their opinion. And that counts hugely in terms of you bidding for further events. I always put this slide in because I love it. I think this is great. This is just kind of lightens up the mood a little bit. Everyone knows there's an American musician called Frank Zappa, who is a little crazy man. But basically it means that you've got to have good beer in Bulgaria, because all the good destinations have a good beer. And it's just a little interesting thing. I mean, you go, I know people who say, oh, I was in Singapore, next time you go, try this beer, it's really good. It's just a fun thing. This is not serious, but it's just a fun thing. So where are the modern day success stories? Who are the people who are grabbing the headlines in our industry? Here they are. I've mentioned Barcelona. Poznan is taking big advantage of the Ryanair deal. Small city in Poland, has very good sporting facilities, has very good unusual meeting facilities. Not for big numbers, but for the 300 to 500 range is very good. And when you're chasing conference and convention business, it's all very nice if you have a huge center and you can go after 3,000 to 5,000 people conferences. The problem is there are not too many of those around. But you get the 200 to 500 range and you can get really good steady business from that and put you into profit. Singapore, huge success story. Reclaiming land now so they can build more. The Singapore Tourism Promotion Board is spending huge amounts of money on what they call the MICE industry. Meetings, incentives, conferences, and exhibitions. I hate that expression. You know, to us Europeans, MICE are little furry things running around. So we tend to call it business travel or meetings and incentive travel. Macau. I was in Macau. It's like flying into Las Vegas. Macau is becoming the gambling center for Asia, the new gambling center, casinos. All the major players out of Las Vegas are building properties in Macau. The easiest way to get to Macau is to fly into Hong Kong, take the ferry. The new Venetian Hotel, been opened about 2 years now in Macau, has its own fleet of ferries. Can you believe this? Painted up in the Venetian livery. When they arrive at their own ferry terminal, they have a fleet of 50 or 60 buses to transfer people, painted up in the Venetian livery. It's a huge undertaking. And it's meaning that Macau is suddenly jumping ahead in terms of the visitor and occupancy stakes. The Chinese are huge gamblers, and they'll go anywhere for the casinos, and Macau is now becoming the center. Do you know any of these people? Hands up if you know some of these people. No? Eri Garagotha is the lady behind Barcelona. Great industry player. Christian Muschlechner He's the head of the Vienna Convention Bureau. He has eight other staff, eight. Every year in the ECA figures about the top cities in Europe in terms of meetings and association meetings, Vienna is in the top three, and they've been there for 12 years. Because this guy totally understands what makes a destination tick and how to win the business. Olivier Lepine was Lyon, is now Biarritz. Very, very creative Frenchman. Uses cuisine and culinary competitions to gain access to meetings. Patrick Delaney, who some of you may have seen here with me before, he's like the Pied Piper of Dublin. He's the face of Ireland. Alan Trotter is the guy I told you about who was very cynical about green. He's the head of Conference Incentives New Zealand. Now, that association, when I first went there in 1992, I called him to make an appointment. And he said to me, sure, I want to talk to you. He said, but if you need to go to the bathroom, please go before you come to our offices, because basically we don't have any bathrooms. Our buildings are so bad. Now, all these years on, they're a hugely important association within Asia Pacific. Modern offices, they have everyone in New Zealand who's part of the business tourism sector is a member. And he's taken that association so high. John Hutchison is now head of Sydney Convention Bureau, was head of Tourism Australia, was chairman of PARTA. He's forgotten more about our industry than I'll ever learn. These are people you should get to know. If you can go to industry events and get to know these people, Aloysius is the man for Singapore. Get to know the people. It's the people that in our industry that are important, the people that you should work with. Get to know them. If you want, email me and I'll email you back their addresses. And they're the sort of people that you could quite happily send an email to and said, Paul Flackett said I should talk to you and you can give me some advice on what I should be doing. And they'll do it because they believe in the industry, especially in these times. Great, great destination. You need allure. You need people to go, wow, yeah. In the old days, it used to be Hawaii, Tahiti, Bali, almost anything that ended with an I. You know, now it's this part of the world has created great interest. Romania, Bulgaria, Poland, Slovakia, Croatia, all these emerging destinations, Montenegro, are all gaining big interest amongst the buyers for business. You have to have a good infrastructure. Access, your airport is great. There's not a problem now. Culture, traditions, scenery. I could be talking Bulgaria in just one sentence. You have all this. It's getting the message out there. Security. Security will always be on any planner's list. What's interesting is, 5 years ago, it was the number one priority. Now, it's in the top 10, but it's about number five or six. People accept now the long lines at immigration and queuing and whatever and security checks. It's all there. What frustrates me as a traveler is the lack of continuity. I came out of Terminal 5 Heathrow yesterday and had to take my shoes off when going through the security check. You go to Terminal 1 on Iceland Air to fly to Reykjavik, you don't have to take your shoes off. This is the same airport. What's happening? Yeah. It's word of mouth. It's you talking about your experiences and sharing them. Go to as many industry events as you can. There's a great DMAI Europe event every year. MPI have a European event. Try and get there. So they're looking for more. These are the planners. These are the people you want to be talking to all the time. And this is what they're looking for. Well-being and spas. How many spas are there in this country? Yeah? Everyone talks about your spas. Space travel will be a competitor. And what I mean by space travel is Richard Branson's going to introduce planes that do a circuit of the Earth. Now, you imagine as an incentive planner, you can buy 20 of those seats. And for the top winners of the program, instead of taking them to Hawaii or Bulgaria, you take them on a one-day trip and they go around the world in a space plane. This is it. This is competition for your dollars. In America, they worked out, Starwood Hotels worked out, that a huge percentage of people have dogs. And a huge percentage of that percentage take their dogs with them when they travel. So Starwood Hotels introduced a program called Love That Dog. And said, you can bring your dog with you. And they created a special basket for the dog in the room. They created special food packs for the dog, special blanket for the dog. And it was amazing. It worked. Because people were being encouraged to take their pet with them rather than discouraged. So anything that's a plus, these people came. Adopt, adapt, and amaze. It might not be an idea for Bulgaria, but think about this. This is how a hotel chain decided they could get more people in and raise the occupancy. Very simple. We've talked on a lot of this. You've got to have the support of the local community. You must have that. The taxi drivers. Make sure your taxi drivers are informed about what's coming to town. In Hamburg, the taxi drivers there, one day a year, they receive a pack with information about all the major conventions coming to Hamburg in the next year, the dates, the hotels that will be used, what the convention is all about. They can then go into one of the hotels and get a small meal. They give them a little pad and pen to stick on their dashboard so they can write notes. They're involved. They're part of the process. Now, I heard Risto talking earlier about how you'd created something, you got better taxi drivers, better taxi service now. Build on that. Do something. The local community, get the people totally involved so the man in the street knows that Sofia is now, or Bulgaria is now, on the map and people are coming because they want to see your experience. And success will never stand still. As soon as you get to a certain level in terms of bringing in the business, that is when you will find it so hard to stay there. You can't stand back and pat yourself on the back and say, didn't we do well? Okay, what comes next? How do you stay there? How do you build on this? I had the shock of my life this morning. I'm sitting there in my dressing gown, having my room service breakfast, watching Sky News. And I always believe that travel is no longer fun. It's, you know, the security, the getting the tickets, you know, do I carry a bag on board or how do I pack if I'm going to do that, blah, blah, blah. And it's no longer fun. Suddenly there's an advert on the TV. Travel is now fun again, something like that. It's just as much fun to travel as to arrive. It was an advert for KLM Airlines. So they're taking that attitude. They've probably realized that it is a problem. You know, there's no fun in travel. The fun is arriving at the destination and enjoying the destination. So again, your local community can be your success. Everyone has a visitor experience. If you've got family and friends coming to Sofia for the first time, there are certain things in your mind that you're going to take them to and show them, right? Yeah, oh, you must come and see this. You must come and see that. This is what you should be doing as professionals in the industry to the planners who want to bring conferences and incentive programs here. Make it the best you can. You've got to be great and make others follow you. You know, they say, wow, they're doing really good. Let's do the same thing. Let's get these people involved. And that's it. All I'm saying to you is you have all the basics here. Yes, there's a financial crisis. Yes, it's tough going. But as I said, is your glass half full or is it half empty? How are you going to handle this? From what I understand, you already have an advantage in terms of the setup of your banks, that they're not as vulnerable as the banks in UK, Iceland, USA, whatever. So there's a strategy there already. that can help you through this. It will spread around the world. Here's the great thing about our industry. We launched IMEX the first year of the show. We had the SARS epidemic. A couple of years later, we had Gulf War II. And you look back and you say, it worked well. This industry that we're in, that we're all part of, is very resilient. We come through these times and we survive. Sometimes we don't know how, sometimes it's through good planning. But we always come through. And there's a very great lady in our industry called Jane Schult. She's based in Minneapolis, but she works globally. She's a past site president. And when the first Gulf War happened, everyone went around wringing their hands and crying, it's doom, this is it, the industry is finished. Glass half empty. Jane, glass half full. No, it's not the end for our industry, because the professional people, the true experts, will survive this and be better for it. And the people who are not professional and don't pay attention and are very weak will go to the wall, they'll be finished. But our industry will be better for it, because only the strong will survive. And you have to be part of this. And I say, you know, I look every morning, I don't pretend to understand, I've never had stocks and shares in my life, except as I realize now in my pension plan, there are stocks and shares. So that might not be so well off. You can listen and you can listen. And everyone will have a different opinion. And I guarantee you now, there are more every time I listen to someone on the radio, they come out with a classic phrase. Well, in my book, I talk about this. And in my book, which I've just released, I talk about that. Everyone is writing books. Everyone is a so-called expert. Just do what is right for you in your own company. Pay attention to what you need to do. Don't worry about what these so-called experts are telling you. Because trust me, there aren't that many experts out there, really. The others are all writing books. And I promise you one thing, you'll never see a book written by Paul Flackett. So enjoy the rest of the morning.
Аз бих предложил да го представим в някой университет за докторат по тези въпроси, които току-що чухме. Според мен това е една прекрасна лекция, която естествено беше много фино и професионално поднесена, но и беше много важна. И отново повтарям, в нашия уебсайт ще излезе главният текст от всичко това, което чухте, но и някой, който иска да се запознае с подробности, имаме съгласието на Пол Флакет да се отрази, да получите и някакво копие от това, което чухте. Но сега идва момента, в който вие може да зададете въпросите си към него. Може да ги задавате и на български, имат симултанен превод на английски, а може и направо на английски тези, които могат да го направят. След което ще чуете по няколко думи от господин Новаков от името на Държавната агенция, защото искам от сега да кажа, че посещението на Пол Флакет е свързано не само с това да чуете какви хубави препоръки може да ни даде, но и за това, че ние с него, т.е. не ние, най-вече Държавната агенция, ще договори българското участие в това, според нас, най-силно в Европа, както ги нарича той, trade show, нали, за конгресния туризъм в Европа, за българското участие. И се надявам, че следващата година господин Новаков обещава, че ще бъде по-добре от тази година, което се случи, което вече беше една крачка напред. Но най-напред към вас. Имате ли някакви въпроси? Жак Бруин.